Welcome to another Glenbrook podcast. I'm Guy Butler and I'm with Alan Bevan from City Residential, who are the leading Liverpool-based residential agents. I think before we start, we're recording this in probably the greenest building or thing we've ever done a podcast in. We're sat in Alan's very spangly new Tesla Model 3, and I'm a car nut, as some of you know, and so I'm very pleased to be in this flash car this morning. And thank you, Alan, for having the heated seat on.
No, it's a given that I'd give that for you, wouldn't it?
So the last podcast we did was about, is there a premium in the PRS built to rent market on rents? And that went down very well. So we thought we'd continue the theme now with Alan in terms of the residential market, and specifically about Liverpool, because the Manchester market, I think, is well covered. But Liverpool, because there aren't many institutions active in that market, is probably left behind a bit with regards to reporting and news. The reason I've invited Alan is he does an incredible report every quarter, I think, and sends it far and wide. And I want to hear about that and how well received that has been, because that's a very rare asset to have in any market. And he's approached from all around the world, which he'll tell you about. But also, I like to hear about how people have got to where they are today and how City Residential's got to be the leading agency in Liverpool, and hear a bit about Alan's story and where he feels the market is, has been, and is going. So that's the purpose of today's chat. We're going to be about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and I'll let Alan do the talking. So first of all, Alan, how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so like a lot of people, sort of fell into property. It wasn't something I sort of chose to do at school. Did my O-levels, A-levels. Decided not to go to university and saw a position as a trainee surveyor on the Wirral. So that's the route I went down. It seemed to be pretty good paid. It seemed to be, property seemed to be a business where the people that I knew in that business seemed to be doing pretty well for themselves. So and sort of quite enjoyed it. So yeah, trained as a surveyor. At the end of my term training, decided that actually being a surveyor was something that I didn't desperately want to do. Looking up gable walls when it's absolutely chucking down was not what I foresee myself doing. So I went into a standard residential estate agency with the same company. And I think sort of found my niche there, enjoyed it, got to manager within 12 months. And then I saw an advert for a part exchange manager with a regional house builder, David McLean's. So I went there when I was 24, and luckily for me, we got rid of our sales director not long after landing there, and I got the opportunity to become sales director at 25, which was obviously young, learnt a lot. So I spent 5 years at Dave McLean, which I still say to this day was probably some of the best 5 years of my life. You know, it was a company that was growing rapidly, but was still a small regional company. So I got involved in land, finance, commercial, obviously sales was my bag. Got to 30, and at the age of 30 you sort of look at life and say, what do you want to do? And I didn't see myself as staying in the industry and becoming an MD and a group MD, which is where the ambition was.
Yeah,
it wasn't an industry that I overly enjoyed. So we jumped out and decided to set up City Residential at that point.
Dave McLean, just quickly pausing you on there. I mean, yep. Dave McLean built the Bling Building in the Paradise Project, Liverpool One, which is Herbert's. That's how I know them. Yep. But they spawned quite a few successful people out of that business, didn't they? I mean, you're one. Yep. You got Mark McNamee, who's City Heart. Yep. There's a few of you who've done it. Obviously, a good place to grow talent.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, name the names. You know, Bill Addy, who's done very well. Some David Williams, who's MD at Bellway, Paul Williams, who's commercial director at Bellway. We had a really good bunch, and it was I think whilst we weren't a national PLC, it was a collective of guys and girls who sort of knew what they were doing and worked well together. Yeah. That's why it was such a good time, that 5 years.
Yeah, sorry to jump. So back to City Res. You formed City Res.
Yeah, so we formed City Res in 2000. The aim with City Residential was, obviously I had an estate agency background, but also had quite a big interest and experience in new homes. So we wanted to set up a company that was could do the things that a Knight Frank, a JLL, a Savills could do on the new home side, but was also a local agent that could do the things the local agent could do. So we saw this gap in the market, And we opened in Liverpool in early 2001. We were originally, I don't think you even know this guy, we were going to open in Chester.
Okay.
Because we didn't see ourselves as being a retail agent. We saw ourselves as a new build consultancy that would sell but also advise. But we managed to find a cheap shop unit in Liverpool city centre. I think it was £5,000 a year.
Is that where you still are now?
Exactly.
That's incredible, isn't it?
But obviously expanded a lot since then. But so, you know, people talk about, you know, how you've got on in life. You know, there's a lot to be said for luck, because we opened in Liverpool 2001 just as the market was starting to really bubble away. So yeah, it was good. You know, it's what you do with the luck, but there was a chunk of luck there.
So Alan, we've spoken about City Res and how it formed. Let's talk about what it does. So you do sales, lettings, management, but most importantly and most relevant for us is that you are probably the leaders in the land business in the city centre of Liverpool.
Yeah, we are, you know, totally multitask across all residential and student. And when we set it up, it was predominantly sales and lettings and management, which are the areas we wanted to focus on. But naturally, that sort of leads you into the land market, because you're acting for developers and investors who are wanting to buy land, and you're advising landowners who want to sell land. So, you know, we're a very respected organisation, so we got deeply engaged in that probably 2005 and have been very active in the market ever since, and continue to be so.
And you set up in 2000, you became very active in the land market in 2005. There were some interesting changes in those early years. I got involved in Resi with One Park West in Liverpool One probably around 2004, 2005. So I was pretty active then. That's when I first knew you. Tell us about where you think the market has changed for Resi development and the market for occupational demand and so on in Liverpool since you set up in 2000 to where we are today.
Yeah, it's been an interesting 20 years. I mean, originally when we set up, the market was driven by predominantly by investors coming in, certainly in 03 to 05. We got to sort of 06, 07, and like you say, there was one or two very good schemes built, sort of One Park West, Man Island, West Tower. These are the quality schemes that are a good mix of owner occupiers and investors. We then hit the recession in 2009. So between 2009, 2012, very little was built. And then the cycle has returned. Unfortunately, this time, between 2012 2019, we've seen the rise of the fractional sale style development, which probably encompasses about 80-85% of everything that's built in Liverpool residentially. And it's basically a different type of scheme that was built between than 2003-2005, but it is still the same basis that we're selling residential units, individual residential units, to investors. Unfortunately, I think many of the schemes that are being sold today are being sold with guaranteed yields that aren't always being achieved. So it has muddied the waters in the residential market at the moment.
Well, there's almost a parallel market set up, and I don't think the occupier really distinguishes particularly easily between the two. But you have a tenant taking space in an apartment that's fractionally sold. The landlord might be in the Far East. And then you have a tenant in one of the PRS built-to-rent schemes like the Keel, where the management is on site, the owner. It's a single ownership between the whole site. How do you think that's going to differentiate itself? How is that going to settle out over the next 5 or 10 years, do you think?
Yeah, what you've got to realise is a lot of the stock that has been built in Liverpool, even some of the recent stock, has not been constructed that well. So there is an opportunity for any developer, any institution who's developing good quality stock, well-located apartments, to do well, whether that's owner-occupiers or build-to-rent. The first two build-to-rent schemes, you know, the Keel one of which you've mentioned, have performed very well. And we do believe that, you know, the city needs more quality stock, whether that's to be bought or to be rented. And we think that there's plenty of room in the market for a good 6 or 7 residential build-to-rent schemes of varying locations, degrees. Whilst we may not, you know, we always get compared with Manchester, don't we? We're not going to see the level of output that Manchester's seeing, but there is a real demand and growing demand for quality residential stock in the city. And build-to-rent is the only only way of accessing that at the moment, because developers aren't really constructing owner-occupier schemes, because the fractional sales model has taken that away from them, really.
We did the last podcast, spoke about this premium on rents, and Ian Scott from LSH studied two schemes in Manchester side by side. One was build to rent, one was effectively for let, effectively sold on a fractional basis, and there was a 8-9% difference in rents. We did a study looking at the Keel and where the rents were on that, and they are the premium rents in the city. The highest rents for the city is the Keel at the moment, closely followed by Cargo Building. Do you think there is going to be a two-tier level of rents in the city with regard to better service buildings, better managed buildings, and then those that have been sold fractionally, where, or do you think the consumer's going to be in the dark about really understanding how these buildings are managed? So do you think there is going to be a separation?
Yeah, there will be, absolutely. I mean, there is always going to be the element of the Liverpool market that's focused on the real affordable lower to middle end of the market. And I don't think the build-to-rent guys can probably access those rent levels. But two things you've got to remember is that there is a demand for well-managed schemes and apartments in the city centre, because our tenants in Liverpool are no different from tenants in any other city. But also, a lot of the stock that's been built, as we've just said, is poorly constructed or now 10, 12 years old. And trying to maintain the standards of those individual fractional schemes, as opposed to the easy way that is to maintain in a single landlord build-to-rent scheme. You know, there is already that premium there. That premium is probably 8-10%. We envisage that premium may actually grow.
Yeah.
You know, maybe up to 12, even 15%. Obviously, the supply will then come in and maybe bring that back down. But, you know, there is a real growing demand for you know, and what's happening is tenant expectation is rising. So, you know, the older stock is really struggling to satisfy what the tenants are looking for in the rental market. And that's where the build-to-rent boys are going to be able to offer the what the tenants need.
So where is the market today in terms of land, and where is the market, do you think, going? Because I think it's quite interesting. We came in with the Keel. We started on site, opened that in 2015. Then Cargo followed on. Both buildings are full. And there is a bit of supply now in terms of three or four build-to-rent schemes. The one on the Strand, Invest Co. There's a few schemes coming online. Where are we going in terms of demand from external investors, and also these institutional investors? And also, where do you think we're going to be in the next 5 to 10 years in Liverpool?
Yeah, it's interesting. Liverpool, from a viability viewpoint on build-to-rent, you'll know yourself, guys, is very, very tight. And that's for a couple of reasons. I think a lot of the institutions don't understand the market. Whilst we produce our quarterly report, and the evidence that we put into that report is there for any institution. You know, they sometimes like to have a big name, a JLL or Savills, behind that research, even though we think our research is better. But it's one of those where so many institutions don't understand the market. They think because there isn't the economic growth and numbers in Liverpool that there isn't going to be the demand for the type of built-to-rent products. And we think they're wrong. You know, more people are living in the city centre, and we've got this demographic evidence, because they want to live in the Liverpool city centre, not because they particularly work there. So what we think will happen is that the build-to-rent schemes, most of the build-to-rent schemes that come forward, will be successful. And that will give confidence in the institutions that Liverpool is a good long-term market. You know, the only danger is that it's not the biggest market in the world. So this, you know, over the next 12, 18 months, we're going to see quite a lot of delivery of build-to-rent. Yeah. You know, so probably circa 1,000 units. So that's a concern, that short term we might have a little bit of oversupply in build to rent, but medium to long term, you know, it's a city I would invest in with no bias if I was in build to rent.
But I think there'll be a flight to quality, I think, and all these things. So I think the rents that are being quoted for these new schemes are not ridiculous, in terms of the rents are pretty much just where the top end of the market is. So actually, people will
go to the quality schemes, the ones that are going to suffer, I think, are the people who've got the sort of reasonably expensive rents but poorly managed buildings, or poorly built buildings, or with poor management. So I think it'll shake itself out in terms of a flight to quality, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Some of the real upmarket schemes, you know, are probably going to attract tenants who don't currently rent in the city centre. Mm. So whilst we think, you know, £1,400-£1,500 a month for a very good two-bedroom in the city is excessive, it may well attract people who wouldn't currently consider renting here. Interestingly enough, you know, you may have heard that the licensing, potentially has been scrapped for the next 5 years.
Yes.
If we stop to think about what that may bring, it may bring a lowering of standards. Not that the city centre suffers with standards that much, but with no licensing system in place, the pressure on landlords to maintain standards may not be there, which again will encourage that flight to build to rent. What we do think in the city centre, though, is that, you know, everybody seems to be focusing down on the docks, which is rightly so because it's a great spot. But we do think there's a gap in the market for, you know, built to rent scheme in the centre of Baltic, built to rent scheme up in the business district.
The Knowledge Quarter.
Yeah, Knowledge Quarter.
I think you're right there. I think we've all been focusing on the waterfront, and certainly the Kiel's right on the waterfront. I think the Baltic is already going really well. But what about the Knowledge Quarter? I think that is probably the area where it's almost another part of Liverpool that has sort of been forgotten about for many years, but you've got a lot of people living up there already in housing and small apartment schemes. There's got to be an opportunity if a bigger site can be assembled up there for some pretty chunky schemes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the Knowledge Quarter is great for the city, and logically there isn't a great number of good quality residential schemes up there. There's plenty of good quality students. But as we're seeing in the city centre at the moment, you know, a lot of the overseas students want to rent in residential build-to-rent schemes because they like the quality, they like the convenience, they like to be able to be looked after, which the build-to-rent schemes do. So you'd have that demand up there, but you've also got the demand from all the medical science, employment that's coming in there. So could do we see that there's room for a 200-300 unit scheme or that number of units up in there in the next 2 or 3 years? Absolutely.
You're talking about the medical sector. Our premium rents at the Kiel were often three-bed sharers who were junior doctors.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's quite interesting. You expect it to be from, you know, high-end business people or whatever. No, it's not. It's from people sharing, and they're all on good salaries, and you know they can afford to have the best apartment on the waterfront in Liverpool. So some quite interesting bits there. So just drawing to a close, or certainly looking at drawing to a close in terms of your report, you've made yourself, I believe, very well known and the leader in the market because you produce a really interesting quarterly report that goes out far and wide, which looks at pipeline, looks at rents, analyses it properly, proper empirical evidence that you issue for free. And I don't know of any other city in the UK, and I may well be wrong, and listeners can tell us that I am wrong, but I don't believe of any other city in the UK that produces such a comprehensive report. When we were doing Liverpool One, used to read your report from cover to cover because it gave us the data we needed to be able to help look at values in our building. And I know that a lot of people do this with you. So can you tell us where the idea came for the report, when it first started, what it is, and how well received it is, and where does it go?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the reason we started in the report is because we felt as a single office independent agency, we had to prove ourselves to the market that we knew what we were talking about. So we started to produce a report that gave a lot of facts and figures that nobody else knew. Nobody else sort of understood. We managed just under 700 apartments in the city centre, so which is nearly double anybody else. So we really understand the crux of the market, and it sort of developed from there. You know, we it started as a three pager in 2007, and it is now a 53 pager in 2020. What we're trying to do with the report, a few things. First of all, is to raise our own individual profile. You know, I think people see that and they know we're a proper organisation who knows what we're talking about. And most importantly, it's very straight. you know, we say it as it is. We're not afraid in that report to speak the
well,
truth.
Well, I've often called you with a few complaints.
Yeah, yeah, you have indeed.
That's actually how we first engaged. So yeah, I called you up, didn't I? I want to speak to you.
Yeah, and Guy, that second page, the summary. that was your idea, and that was because you didn't want to read the whole report. But there we go. So the report. So it's just ballooned in the point where people would say, you know, look, what's the latest on this, or can you put student figures in there? And slowly but surely, it's become what it has become. But most importantly, you know, a lot of the stuff that goes into that report, there's a huge amount of work that's goes on behind the scenes, and that's just a snippet of what we have got, you know, data, knowledge, understanding, experience. But it's read by, you know, even the last week I had a phone call from somebody in Malaysia who got sent the report, not directly. Who wanted to know that the apartment they were buying in the city centre was the right apartment, and then the next day we'll get phoned up by an institutional fund in Singapore who fancies buying 50 million quid's worth of stock in the city centre. So it covers everything. We get phone calls and contact from single people all the way through to funds, and it's great for us. And most importantly, in the absence of the PLC big agents, it allows the city to let the market know what's going on, which I don't think we see in other cities.
I think you're right. It goes far beyond that. I think so. What we've seen in Liverpool over the last 10 or 15 years is that Knight Frank have moved out in terms of a resi presence. King Sturge and then JLL moved out. Savills, I don't think, ever were in the city. But what we're finding now is that people, those people in the Manchester offices who are doing residential valuations, come to you for data and read your report and use you as a reference. And I don't know of any other city where there is a quality of that research. But also, how many years does your data go back now?
Tenant data are about 8 years, and general residential data, 20 years.
Yeah, so there's actually trends you can look at, and that helps you then with forecasting. So I think it's very interesting that that report is produced. And as I said, I don't know. Do you know of any other cities that do that?
We've got partners in Leeds, Manchester, Newcastle and Birmingham. I keep on trying to persuade them to do it, but, it is. To go from a standing start to where we are is too much work for anybody. You've had to have been doing it for 10 years.
And that report, I urge you all to... I'll put a link on my LinkedIn post to the latest report, because I think it's well worth having a look at and seeing the date. And I think the inclusion of student land and student delivery and accommodation was really interesting, because that showed where the market was going. And then the build to rent inclusion, which you picked up anyway because you're doing the residential market, so you've adapted as time's gone on and become the leaders in the market because of that very fact. So it shows your professional approach. I think it's really interesting and why I wanted to speak today. So one final question before we finish up: where is your report going to be in 20 years time, or where is the market going to be that's driving that report in 20 years time? Because I think it's starting to shake out a little bit now with fractional sales and a separation of the market, but what's your views of where it's going to be in 20 years?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a lot going on in the market at the moment, you know, a lot of headlines being made, and we're, you know, it's fractional sales, we think it has seen its day, and I think that consensus is accepted by practically everybody now, which we think will open up the market for institutions, which we're seeing on the build to rent side. But most what we, you know, the real demand in the market, which is not that visible, but it is there, is for proper residential schemes.
Yeah.
So the likes of the One Park West, the Man Islands, the West Towers, the Albany schemes that were built with an owner occupier in mind, or somewhere where people want to live. We need that type of stock. We're massively undersupplied. Whilst we're oversupplied with the wrong type of stock, we're massively undersupplied with the wrong the right type of stock, which is those type of schemes. The interesting thing with all the sort of news and the hot air and the question marks about the residential market in Liverpool, one thing we're all forgetting is Liverpool is massively on the rise. It is a city that has come from, you know, a long way down in the gutter 10, 15, 20 years ago. It is now a place where people genuinely want to live, irrespective of whether they work there. We're getting tenants and owner-occupiers moving in the city because they want to live in Liverpool city centre, because it is now a great place to live. The facilities, the culture, the restaurants, the bars, the waterfront. We, you know, we've got it all, and that's not going to go away. We don't even think a recession will particularly get away from the fact that Liverpool has become a wonderful place to live. So medium to long term, without any bias, because that's where our business is, we're really excited about the next 15, 20 years. But it may be 3 or 4 years before the market sort of realises, you know, stops focusing on the negatives, the issues that are out there, and actually starts focusing on what residents want. And I think once we start to do that, I think there'll be funding in there. I think the developers will be there. Guy, you know, you'd love to do an owner-occupier scheme in there. Of course you would, you know, but you've got to have belief that the market is there.
Well, I think that's really, really interesting. I think one of the things there that we observed 10 years ago in Liverpool was that people quite often would rent apartments in Liverpool in their retirement. So they'd have a house, big pile on the Wirral, and they'd have a holiday house, a little pied-à-terre in the city centre of Liverpool, so they could go to the restaurants, go to the bars, go to the theatre. And I think we're going to see that a bit more happening, because people, it's a really good place to be. So Liverpool is up there with one of my favourite cities in the world, pretty much, for fun and leisure and so on. It's a great place to live, and a lot of people share that. So.
Yeah, just final points, interesting enough, you know, people ask, you know, themes, and like you said, we've got 7 years worth of data. You know, the probably the most obvious theme that's coming through is not the rise in overseas students, which is a real big growth area that everybody talks about, but actually the growth in the over 50s. So one of the big areas we've seen in the demographic is more over 50s are renting in the city than ever. And that agrees with what you've just said, that people are looking at it as a place to have a pad, whether it's a permanent pad or a temporary place, and have something else overseas.
Alan, I'm starting to sweat a bit now, sitting in the Tesla 3 with the heated seats on number 3 out of 3. He's turning it down. And I've really enjoyed this chat. Don't do this enough. Yep. And really enjoyed it. Enjoyed the Tesla 3. I look forward to seeing your next report and seeing where Liverpool continues to go. So thank you very much.
Likewise.